I'm Michelle Polino.
And I'm Michael Tamaro, and this is Michelle.
Take two.
That's right. Kicking it off in style.
Who's coming out?
Well, it is Pride weekend, Michelle.
Oh, it is Pride.
It is. Happy Pride.
Should you find Pride.
Should you find yourself swimming in the sapphic stream with you? With you, we can never tell.
You can't tell with me.
It depends on the weather.
Tell. It does depend on the weather. And it's always bright and sunny here in Los Angeles.
So what is going on?
Well, let's just explain our podcast for our new listeners, because there are every week that we stop at the intersection of politics and pop culture and we discuss.
We do. It's the fastest growing podcast in the universe.
It is.
And we're joined once again, See, Pride's on the brain.
Yeah, you're so gay.
Fluid. I'm very fluid, Michelle.
You're fluid.
That's the word these kids use.
But we're joined. I'm fluid.
You are fluid. We're joined by John and Alexandra, interns extraordinaire.
Hey.
They're here to view and witness broadcast excellence.
I thought they were on the mic.
They were on the mic. Say hi, guys. Hello. John keeps giving me assignments. It's very funny how this internship seems to be working.
Aren't you supposed to give him assignments?
He tells me to print a lot.
He keeps telling me I have to up my social media game, and he sent me an email today about Kim Kardashian's thing, makeup line, selling out, with the headline, "You need to get on this."
She made $14.4 million in 10 minutes.
Not bad.
In 10
That's
minutes.
Real good.
And he bought it on my phone yesterday.
Oh, he's
working.
My friend, yes.
So he goes, "Can I use yours?"
This intern,
what did you buy?
He's out of
control. I bought it. My friend's obsessed with her, so she came out with this contour line, and we were in line for 30 minutes. But half of it went through.
Good
is true.
For you, Alex. Good for you.
Okay, that's enough of me interns. Be quiet now. It's all about me and Michelle, too.
Yeah, I'm just a side note.
So what's going on, Michelle?
So I don't know if you guys saw my article this week. It was on FoxNews.com, and I did a 5-part series on how there's a new McCarthyism in Hollywood, and conservatives are the target.
It was a good read.
Thank you. If anybody hasn't read it, please check it out on FoxNews.com. And there's just a suppression of conservatives in Hollywood. But it's amazing to me that you go elsewhere in the country and it's the flip. So I was able to get both sides of the story. I talked to three actors. I can't name them. They wished that they asked me that they will speak only in the case that I would not release their names, because it's that bad.
Can you give us a hint?
Nope.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh.
Well, I'll say this. I will tell you.
Can you make it like a blind item, like the New York Post?
No.
Which actor?
I know.
Love this.
I will tell you this. One's a talk show host. Another one is a actor and screenwriter. Another one is a screenwriter. The screenwriter has been in the business here and is on two shows right now and has literally never seen anything like it. He said it's far worse than the Reagan years. The Reagan years are pretty bad. Specifically in Hollywood, because Reagan was a former actor and there was a lot of backlash because of that.
Mm-hmm.
But he told me he's never seen it as nasty and vitriolic as he has now. And a lot of them just feel like they just can't even talk, like even question another point of view or put something out there without a backlash starting. But I also spoke to actress Mary Birdsong from Reno 911 and The Departed, and also pretty hot publicist Danny Duraney, who Laura Benanni, Mary Birdsong, has a lot of Hollywood actresses who's both of them are very liberal, and they're just like, well, go to the middle of the country and you will feel this. We feel the same, you know. And so the division is deep. It's unfortunate, though, in Hollywood, conservatives and Hollywood, it's all about our relationships here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, our relationships get jobs. And if you're a producer, and I've produced a couple of films, and I know that you want the set to be a happy set. You don't want anybody that may have, even if they're perfect for the role, well, you don't want anybody kind of fighting on set over politics, because there's downtime.
It's gotten very nasty, and it's to the point where, you know, the things they say, they're losing the argument, and they're losing elections because of it. I mean, it's funny you bring this up. You know, Hollywood went all in for this John Ossoff Georgia 6 election on Tuesday night for the runoff, and once again, Hollywood got rejected. Rosie O'Donnell, Jane Fonda, Samuel L. Jackson all raised money to help the Ossoff campaign. He spent $30 million. It's the most expensive race, congressional race, in the history of this country. Jackson cut a 45-second radio ad endorsing Ossoff. Actor John Leguizamo got involved.
Yeah, they all do.
Saying, you know, democracy itself is hinged on Ossoff winning. And once again, the people rejected what they had to say. If I was running a campaign, if I was a Democrat, I would do two things. One, they need to start having people run that reflect the actual district and live in the district. And two, tell Hollywood to stay out because they're not helping.
They're not helping, but they'll never stay out because they're just passionate people. But here's my advice. It's not stay out.
It's a passionate group.
It is. And here's my advice. Do not stay out, but do talk. Do you know how many liberals I reached out to and they wouldn't talk to me? I reached out to Chelsea Handler. I reached out to Lena Dunham, who says she wants to talk. Sally Field, Deborah Messing, America Ferrera. I could go on and on and on, and they all turn me down. And Danny Duraney, a publicist, told me straight up, they won't talk to Fox. They tell their publicists to just get them out of it. And this is the kind of stuff that we need to start bridging the gap.
I faced it this week. I was in London supporting War of the Planet of the Apes, and we spoke to everyone, had great conversations with most of the cast except for Woody Harrelson.
That's not how this country moves forward. That is not how we do it. Not speaking people with the biggest, loudest voices, not speaking to the other side is not how this country moves forward. And that's it. People, if you're out there and you have a voice, this is how it has to change, by you speaking to us.
So
that's
this,
it.
So this talk show host that you interviewed, Michelle, does he have a current show?
I'm not going to say.
Really?
I'm not going to say. And here, I just want to add this. I go
male
out a lot
or female?
Here. I'm not male.
Okay.
I go out a lot, and I see a lot of celebrities. Saturday night, I was out. I met Susan Blakely. You remember Rich Man, Poor Man?
Yes.
Okay.
I do, Michelle.
So I'm at this party. I meet Susan. She's a friend of a friend. And my friend's like, oh, she's an entertainment reporter for Fox. She doesn't say hello to me. She looks at me straight in the eye and she goes, you're not a Trump supporter, are you? Nothing. That was her first statement to me. And I looked at her and I smiled. And I'm like, what if I was? You know, we just met.
I know.
And it was just that. And you know me. You know I'm definitely center left. I drive down the center and then I move left. I was appalled at that statement. It was like, I'm a human here. I'm a human being, Susan.
You're a sensitive little lady. A sensitive lass.
Little Italian.
Exactly. From Philly.
From Philly.
Hardly.
That was ready to clock somebody.
Oh my God.
But that's where the country is. It's not, hi, how are you, blah, 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 blah. It's, are you, who did you support and why?
That is where they are. I can tell you where they are not right now, Michelle.
Where?
Polino. Watching Megyn Kelly Sunday night on NBC.
You love this. You love this.
It's the story that keeps on giving.
He is literally traipsing through the daisies right now.
How do you solve a problem like Megyn Kelly? NBC, I cannot emphasize enough what a disaster this show is turning out to be, and what it's turning out to be a $17 million disaster. The show came in third Sunday night. It got beat by a rerun of America's Funniest Home Videos.
Oh my
gosh. America decided to watch kids getting hit in the head by frisbees over an interview that was hyped 6 days going into it Sunday night. Disaster.
Can I just say something? I also think that's...
Yes?
I think a lot of people... She moved to a liberal media outlet. And I think a lot of people still... because they dislike Fox so much, because this is what we just talked about,
You know, and part of it's also who she doesn't know who she is. And
she's still trying to define that.
Yeah, and these interviews aren't her strength. You know, I had someone here, on-air talent, and we were talking about it, and they had a very interesting thing to say, which was she was basically a creation. She turned on the creator, and now she's sort of running amok through the NBC village, and they don't really know what to do with her. Apparently, according to Closer magazine, Matt Lauer is claiming that she is tarnishing the image of NBC and the Today Show. Matt thinks this interview gave a platform to an individual who peddles conspiracy theories about dead children. It's a stunt that Megan would have gotten away with when she was at Fox News, but this is NBC. So their problem and their challenge right now is they're launching this Megan in the 9 o'clock hour of the Today Show from a position of incredible weakness.
This is interesting to watch.
Other issue is 30% of the daytime audience is African American. You know, so can, you know, the woman behind White Santa, remember she said this.
Racist to have a white Santa, you know? And by the way, for all you kids watching at home, Santa just is white, but this person is just arguing that maybe.
So she said that a couple of years ago. And, you know, will she appeal to a diverse audience?
I don't know about
audience?
You, but let me just say something. I grew up in West Philadelphia. I saw plenty of black Santas.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just saying it. West Philadelphia, born and raised. A black Santa was in the windows where I gazed. that's not true.
It's going to be very, you know, it's going to be very interesting. You know, the 9 o'clock hour was actually beating live with Kelly for most of the year.
Yeah.
And they're reshuffling that. And I have a feeling Ryan Seacrest is going to kill her with his Rolodex come the fall.
That'll be an interest. That's going to be interesting to watch.
I speak to only insiders.
Yeah.
High up, Michelle. And this person told me, someone who's in the know about the thinking, because you and I were sort of trying to figure out what made them go to Ryan Seacrest, and they said it was all about Megyn Kelly and his Rolodex come the fall. So that's what they were sort of gearing up towards. Yeah.
Yeah, this is good insider information.
Someone high up at ABC. I took a meeting on Friday, Michelle. I'm in the take a meeting phase of my career now.
Okay.
And we were talking a little bit about the whole Megyn Kelly thing, and they were just sort of scratching their head. They don't get it. They don't see how she's going to work at 9. And again, they brought up the thing. It's a very diverse audience, the daytime audience is. So we will see. And they don't think a white, blonde woman will have that much appeal. Sorry, Alexandra.
Is that
she's white and blonde, too.
Okay. It's okay. We take them here.
So that's our Megyn. That's our Megyn Kelly update.
That's actually a great update. Thanks for that. It's a lot of great information in that. Really good stuff. Did you hear about the Cosby jurors that are coming out now?
I thought of you all weekend.
Oh, these sons of. So
first of all, okay, I'm not a big fan of this whole story. But why was he acting like he was victorious? Like, just shut up and go home quietly.
Mm. Did you see now he could see? All of a sudden, once blind, but now he could see.
And he lost.
Did you guys notice
that? He lost the cane.
He's like, okay, now I don't need to act doing this.
Well, it sounds like jurors definitely responded to a nice elderly man who's blind, walks with a cane, sitting in the
They were playing every trick in the book, and one jury told, I think it was ABC News, that the panel stood 10-4 in favor of convicting him. 10-2, I apologize, 10-2 in favor of convicting him. The panel was nearly unanimous in a vote to acquit on a third count, but he said the sheriff's deputies outside the jury room came in a couple of times because they thought jurors were actually in fisticuffs. That's how contentious it got.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Wow is right.
So will he be retried now? That's the big. Yes. That's the big question.
Yeah, he will be retried.
And I think the way he was acting, carrying on after the verdict, I think will certainly encourage them to go after him again.
Yeah, absolutely.
He did not win over many friends with that one, and the wife too, by the way.
Right.
Came out with a very strident statement.
Yeah, it was pretty nasty, actually. Strident was being kind.
I'm a kind person, Michelle.
Yeah, I know. Well,
depending on the day. Oh! What's this? Michelle has sound? Are you surprising me with sound, Michelle?
I am, because this...
It's about time.
This tore apart Hollywood this week. It was such big news. It was... every station was talking about it here.
Let me guess. The director leaving.
Yeah.
You know, I was debating whether or not to talk about this, you know, with you, and then also on Fox and Friends yesterday, this morning.
This
What's
is
today?
Big.
Thursday.
This is big.
Yeah, I thought it was a little too inside baseball. I'm fascinated by it, and I'm also fascinated. You can just tell us what happened. About I read something today that a movie can only have one director.
Hmm. Yeah, this that's
DGA
not true.
Rules.
That's not true because what was the first film? I'm trying to go back to Little Miss Sunshine.
Yeah.
Little Miss Sunshine had two directors, and I was like, oh, wow. Two directors, yes, you can have two directors. It's not, there are certain DGA subsets that allow you to have two directors, but it sometimes does get wonky, you know, because a director is the visionary. It's the captain, so to speak, of the ship. And they have a vision, and the producers enact that vision. Okay?
Okay.
The producers also have to have a vision. The producers have a vision as well. And that the producers and directors' vision must match.
Yeah.
They must match up. So when you get into two directors, it's a lot of visions going on. It's like a psychic convention.
Who do you take direction from if you're an
That's
actor,
what
too?
I mean.
That's going to be very confusing.
Yeah, well, usually in dual directors, one person is the more demonstrative director, and another sits back and looks at the monitor and is like, yeah, this is, you know, gives them the eye, the stink eye, or, you know.
Got it.
And so, you know, one stays in Video Village. That's the area where the monitor is and the director's chairs are, and then there's the area of set where the actors are. So this is big because they're almost three quarters of the way through the film.
Yeah. Most of it's all shot, yeah.
Right. So
the principal photography is what they call it. Is practically complete, right?
That's right.
The term.
Yes, that's the principal, yeah. And then they get the B shoots and the reshoots and all that kind of stuff. So now Ron Howard has been tapped to replace him. Ron Howard's great. But they have to have a singular vision, and it feels like, and this is what I'm going to be honest with you, I think it's Kathleen Kennedy's vision.
Yeah.
I really do. I feel like it's the producer's vision.
Mm-hmm.
These guys were hired to enact that vision. Hired hands to make that happen and to add to it. And I think what happened was their addition was not well received. So they're like, I mean, Kathleen's like, no, I don't think that's the way I want to see it. And the boys are like, but we really believe this. That's when it started to clash.
Look, she's the visionary behind this incredible reboot of this franchise.
Oh,
the
my
way
gosh.
Kevin Feige is of the Marvel movies.
You understand it. We're in the biz.
Yeah, I go with Kathleen.
I go with Kathleen, too.
So,
you know, again, she's Gemini, very creative.
Speaking of very creative, Michelle.
Yeah.
Hollywood continues to get creative with its relationships. Two things I'm calling bullshit on this week.
Oh, wow.
Yes. A-Rod and J-Lo take Paris. Daily Mail had an interesting article with them taking all these selfies, making out throughout Paris, the city of love and lights.
Great. Well, what's bull about that? What?
I'm not buying
this
relationship.
You don't believe this relationship.
Hollywood is known for, you know, doing these relationships to raise profiles and change images and get press.
I disagree wholeheartedly. No, no.
I am just saying A-Rod is making a big switch over to ABC from being an athlete to a broadcaster. He's someone who has to work incredibly hard, having interviewed him, to be charming. So they have a tough sell. Another network has another tough sell. So I'm a little skeptical about that relationship, Michelle.
Okay, all
And there's another one I'm calling into question.
Alex, John, I want to hear your thoughts. Nothing? Anyone? Bueller?
You're allowed to speak.
Go ahead. I think I agree with what you're saying about him, but like, I don't know. I don't think J-Lo would do that. I don't know why.
See, I don't either. I love J-Lo. I'm team J-Lo.
I'm
team J-Lo. All
right. Okay. All right. Other one I'm calling bullshit on is Madge has a new boy toy. Yes.
Oh, yeah. I saw
Madonna, 58, has begun dating 31-year-old model Kevin Sampaio after breaking up with her previous model, 26-year-old Abukar.
What?
Brooklyn.
What?
Sumahara, who had been living with her on the Upper East Side. So why do I call bullshit on this, Michelle?
Why?
Because I have hooked up with several of her past boy toys. Okay? Oh. So I question now, again, she dates these young guys, it raises their profile, it gets out to they get good. She gets good press. So yes. Yes.
Alex,
I think that she is doing this because she wants to feel young. All the performances that she does, she thinks she's younger than she is. So,
listen to this millennial.
So, do you want to know who I hooked up with? One of her more infamous boy toys? I can't tell you the name. Well, I'll tell you who it is, but Rick, are you there?
I am here.
Okay, Rick.
It was not me.
I'm going to tell you who it is. And Rick, you have
Rick's
to block it out, okay?
Rick's our producer.
Yes, I will.
You'll have to block it out. So it's Google him now, Michelle. Let me know what you think.
Okay. Oh, yes.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
And let me just tell you.
He's very hot. We got to leave it there because you know I got to go.
Okay. we'll end on a high note.
Stop it.
Or a low note.
Oh,
yes.
I got to go.
All right, Michelle.
We've reached a new low here at the podcast Take Two. Please visit us every week, and I guarantee you this will never happen again. I'm Michelle Foligno.
And I'm Michael Tamaro.
And this has been Take Two.